How many of you are excited tonight to hear from God's Word, to let God speak to you tonight? And as always, it's an honor to have you here. We're humbled that you are here tonight. We're going to start in 1 Samuel tonight. We've been in a series talking about the power of forgiveness. And the first week, we talked about forgiving offenses and how we live in a society that is so easily offended. And we talked about how to let that go. And then last week, if you didn't hear it, it's on the website. We talked about how to forgive deep hurts and betrayals. And tonight we're going to talk about something a little different. And then next week we'll talk about forgiving yourself. Because so many people are still, you know, they know that God has forgiven them, but they walk around with so much guilt, so much shame, and never really realizing that they are forgiven. So the power of forgiveness. How many of you love a miracle story like we heard tonight with Brother Dale? What a miracle. I mean, when God shows out and when God shows up and he does a miracle, and it's an exciting thing. And we can't wait. We've seen that happen several times here. And this brother is a walking miracle. But I want to ask you a question. What happens when other people receive a miracle, but you don't? What happens if, you know, you've heard the story, a guy give a testimony. Well, I started tithing Sunday and I walked in Monday and I got a pay raise. What about those who would say, you know, I've been tithing, but I'm still struggling. I've been tithing week after week after week, but I'm still struggling. Or maybe you have a neighbor who prayed for a healing miracle in their life of their parrot. And that parrot was miraculously healed. And then here you have a loved one that you've been praying for so long that they would be healed. And up to this point, they have not been. Or maybe you heard the story, somebody stand up and give a story about how God told them to break up with their not so good boyfriend. And they ended up meeting this guy that looked like he was Brad Pitt's brother. And he had memorized half of the New Testament. And, you know, they were both, they got a free vacation. They won a free honeymoon, and they were both memorizing 1 Corinthians 13 for their wedding. But you broke up with your not so good boyfriend, and the only dates you've had are Krispy Kreme. What about that? What about when that kind of thing happens to a believer? You know, naturally we say, where are you, God? Where's my miracle? Why haven't you done that for me? And then sometimes we get to the point where we feel like, and you can be honest tonight, do you ever feel like just God let you down? That God didn't come through when you wanted him to come through? That God didn't provide that miracle that you needed at that time? What do you do when that baby that you've always dreamed of having, it never happens? Or the engagement you prayed for never came? Or that loved one that you prayed that they would be healed, and instead of getting better, they passed away? And you think, God, I know that's in your power. God, I know you could have done it. I know you could have healed them. I know that nothing is too hard for you. And whether we're willing to admit it or not, sometimes we get a disappointment with God. And we feel like, you know, it's almost like we wouldn't say mad, but it's almost like we're mad at God. We get a grudge toward God. We feel like he has let us down. What do you do when you get in a position like that? When you want to trust God, but it's so hard, it's so difficult. God, why didn't you come through for me when I needed it? And maybe it's even caused you to be angry with God for a while. And so tonight we're talking about forgiving God. That's a subtitle, forgiving God, which technically I know is not true because God never sins. God never does anything wrong. So we don't have to forgive God. And yet we often allow disappointment and hurt and pain to interfere with our relationship with God. Well, it may be that you need to be reconciled with God. Maybe you're here tonight and you felt that way. That there's something you need to let go of. That there's something you've been blaming on God. And it's time for you. The Holy Spirit has sent you here tonight to say to you, you need to let it go. And you need to learn to trust God in faith again. You need to have the faith to trust in God even when it doesn't make sense, even when that miracle doesn't come through at that moment you thought it would. Well, we're in 1 Samuel tonight in the Old Testament, and there's a guy named Elkanah who has two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Now, if you're not married, you're probably thinking, man, two wives. Those of us who are married know that one spouse at a time is all that you can handle. So forget about that. You know, it's like this bachelor thing, the bachelorette. I just cannot understand those shows. These people just put it all out there. And, oh, it's ridiculous, you know. Crazy. And not that I watch them that much. I'm just kind of surfing through, you know, and I see some of that. Well, the husband's name was Elkanah. And Elkanah literally means, in Hebrew, God has created a son. So every time you hear he was called Elkanah, it would mean God has created a son. And yet he's married to Hannah. And Hannah has not conceived. Hannah cannot conceive. And many Bible scholars believe that that is why Elkanah took his second wife. And you see, can you imagine? You see, in that society, if a woman couldn't conceive, there was a shame. There was a pain. There was a hurt that came about. And it would have been easy for Hannah to blame God. It would have been easy for Hannah to say, Lord, where are you? Why hasn't this happened? Hannah couldn't bear children. She felt like a failure. She felt ashamed. She felt useless. And here she is, married, two sister wives. And they have a rivalry going against each other. And each year, Elkanah would take his family to a place called Shiloh. And at Shiloh, they would worship God and they would give sacrifices to God. And every year on that trip to Shiloh, Peninnah took it as an opportunity to berate Hannah, to throw shade on Hannah. Look at it beginning in verse 6 of Samuel 1 on your outline. So Peninnah would haunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. And each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Now, I think that verse 7 is very powerful there, where it says, year after year after year. Hannah, year after year, the sweet, godly, loving woman, year after year. Year after year, she would believe God. Year after year, she would go to the place of worship. Year after year, she was asking God for a miracle. And yet, that miracle did not come. Here's Peninnah. You know, she's kind of making fun of her, making her cry, berating her. Peninnah is kind of like the girl that your mama warned you about. Vicious, cruel, mean as a cat in the shower. Just that kind of woman. You know, stay, your mama told you, stay away from girls like her. And here Peninnah is just constantly berating Hannah. Can you imagine what Hannah's mindset must have been? Why would God bless Peninnah? This is what Hannah's thinking. Why would God let her have children, but not me? God could have given Hannah a child, but he didn't at that point. Hannah could have been thinking, you know, I've been faithful. I go to worship every week. I'm a good person. God, I love you. I've tried to honor you with my life year after year after year. But so far, nothing. How many of you can relate to that? And I don't want a show of hands, but I'm sure it would be far more people in this room than we would dare even imagine who've been through this midnight of the darkness of the soul, where you felt isolated from God. You felt like God was at fault. And here's Hannah year after year after year, she's making her way there. You put yourself in her place. Maybe you can when you think about things like this. Year after year, you prayed for your friend's salvation. Year after year, you prayed for a loved one's salvation. And nothing. You see other people being saved, but not the one that you've been praying for year after year. Year after year, you ask God for a healing. And yet year after year, the condition in your body stays the same. Maybe year after year, you have begged God for this depression to go away. And yet year after year, it's something you have to fight each and every day. Maybe year after year, you've asked God for a better job with benefits. And yet year after year. Maybe some of you tonight are going through that trial and you're facing a challenge. You're facing something that just won't go away. Maybe you've prayed and believed God and the marriage is still bad. Maybe you've prayed and you believe God, but you're still struggling financially. And year after year, you felt alone. You felt like God has abandoned you. You felt like, where are you, God? Why haven't you helped me, God? Do you even care what I'm going through? Can you feel Hannah's pain? So what do you do when you feel like that? I know you felt that way. You do what Hannah did. You pray. You believe. You wait. You pray, you believe, you wait. Now Hannah's husband was Elkanah, and the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about him, but he's generally a good man. But he's still a man. And, you know, we men can say stupid things sometimes. And I want to help some of you men tonight. And really, I'm doing this for you to try to help you. Let me give you a couple things never to ask your wife. Never come home at the end of the day and say smugly, "What have you been doing all day?" Don't do that. I'm telling you, it's a lie. It's a landmine. Don't not do that. I'm trying to help you, fellas. Don't ever do this. Don't ever say to them something like this, "Honey, did you mean to do your hair that way?" You don't do that. That's not smart. And I want to tell you something I learned early in the ministry. Do not ever, 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 I'm trying to help you here, fellas, don't ever ask a woman if she's pregnant. Even if she's got that t-shirt on that says baby and an arrow pointing down, still don't ask them. Now, if they want to tell you, that's fine. But don't ask them about it. But you know, Elkanah here is the kind of man that, you know, he's just, he asked this question. Look at it. Look at it in chapter 1, verse 8. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? I'm sure he meant well, but that's actually the stupid thing to say. You know, you don't say things like that. You know, that would be the kind of... the Bible doesn't tell us what Hannah said in response to that. But let me just tell you what I think she said, according to maybe something my wife might say to me when I ask something stupid. Do you think maybe you need to rephrase that question, that answer? You know, do you think that maybe you need to say that another way? And so here's this guy. He's got foot in the mouth disease. Do you really want me to answer that? I'm sure Hannah is thinking. I want you to understand the pain that Hannah is going through. She's hurting. She's in deep grief. She's in deep, deep pain. And Hannah is trying to love God in the midst of her pain. But there's only one thing she wants, and that's a child, and it seems like God is withholding that. And then on top of that, her rival, Peninnah, is making her miserable because Peninnah has all of her little rugrats running around, all of her children, and they're there to remind Hannah of what she doesn't have, and she's not kind to her. And then here comes her husband, and he sticks his foot in his mouth. What do you do when you're disappointed with God and it doesn't seem like God is coming through at that moment? What do you do? It's easy to get a grudge even against God, or to get bitter against God. I got that way at one time in my life, and I'm ashamed of it now, but I got bitter at God, and I'm so glad I got over that. Maybe you're feeling that way tonight. Well, I want to show you exactly what you need to do. I want to show you exactly what Hannah did. Now, I would not recommend that you do this every day over the next 20 years. But I would recommend to you that occasionally, if you're feeling that way, do what Hannah did. Hannah unloaded on God. She just told God what she was feeling. She told God of her pain and how she felt such agony. What do you do? Sometimes we have to vent. Sometimes we just have to tell God. God, I'm disappointed. God, I don't understand why this is happening. God, where are you? Look at this next verse, verses 9 through 10. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and she went to pray. And Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. And notice this, Hannah was in deep anguish. She was crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. She let God know from the depths of her heart, God, why haven't you done this? I'm disappointed. And she pours out her heart to God. Can I tell you this tonight? God can handle your hurt. It's okay to vent with God. He knows you. He can handle it. And if you're feeling it, it's okay occasionally to vent that to God. God can handle your hurt. David had a time when he vented to God. He said, Lord, why is it that all my enemies seem to be defeating me? Jeremiah wept unto the Lord. Even Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, isolated from God, he felt and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He vented to God because at that moment, God had to turn his back because the sins of the world were upon Jesus Christ. I'm saying to you tonight, it's okay to feel that way. And I'm reminding you that God loves you. He loves you. And God understands your pain. And God welcomes your questions. He's big enough to handle them. And I'm going to tell you this about God. He'd rather have you yell at him than walk away from him. And too many people have let something like this cause them to walk away from God. And so Hannah's praying and she tells God, give me a son. And Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Lord, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him to you. And then there's a conversation here, and I'm not going to go in depth about it, between with the priest and with her, and finally the priest Eli says to her, go in peace. May God grant your request. But nothing changed immediately. Still she had nothing. No baby. Still she had to deal with Peniah. Her husband was still saying stupid things. God still hadn't answered her prayer. She still had had no sign. What do you do when you have no sign? What do you do? I want to tell you what you do. You do what Hannah did. She continued to hold on with big faith. She held on to God by faith. And she didn't let go. If you can just somehow muster a little faith, like that mustard seed of faith, to say, God, I don't understand, but God, I believe that you're still good. And God, I believe you're still in the miracle working business. And notice what happens here in 1 Samuel 1:19 on your outline. The entire family got up early the next morning and watched this. They went to worship the Lord. Once more. Well, that really spoke to me. I'm sure Hannah didn't feel like it. But yet Hannah got up early the next morning and she went to worship God. Look at this. Once more. She went to worship the Lord once more. And she kept worshiping. Every day she'd get up and she'd worship God. Can I tell you this tonight, and you may want to write this on your outline. A waiting season is not a wasted season. A waiting season is not a wasted season. You may not see it with your own eyes, but if you'll hold on to God, even when things look bad, if you'll continue to have what little faith you have, one more time, and then one more time, and then one more time, if you'll just hang on. Notice what happens next, 1 Samuel 1:19. She didn't quit. Notice, and they returned home to Ramah, where Elkanah slept with Hannah, and the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. Let me tell you something else to write down on your outline. God's delays are not God's denial. God's delays are not God's denials. It may not be that very moment that you see the miracle. You may have to wait. You may have to come once more and then once more and then once more. But you hold on and then one more time and you hold on one more time. Don't be afraid to do as Hannah did, to unload on God. My son, tragically, took his life. I went through a midnight of the soul. And I questioned God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. I questioned God. And I said, God, why? We did everything we knew to do. Lord, don't you know I'm serving you? Why did this happen? Lord, we've tried to love you. We've tried to serve you. We put them in rehab after rehab. And I saw other people's children who were, they weren't even believers. And their children goes to rehab one time and boom. They're okay. They never relapse. So I went through this time where I really questioned God, and I just had to keep coming back one more time, even when I couldn't feel it, even when I was mad at God, even when I was questioning God, I kept coming back one more time, God, help me, Lord. And at that moment, God gave me a verse of scripture that I didn't include on your notes. It's, if you'll put it up here, it's Habakkuk chapter 3. And it just driving back from New Orleans today, the Lord spoke to me about it. And this is something the Lord showed me at that time. Now here's Habakkuk. Notice what he says. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will find joy in the God of my salvation, because the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's it tonight. Maybe it seems everything's going wrong. Maybe your prayer hasn't been answered. Maybe you feel disappointed in God tonight. But I'm here to tell you, even if you're mad at God, even if you're holding a grudge, even if you're disappointed, you can make a choice tonight. And that choice can be that even though so many things are going wrong, yet, I'm going to trust the Lord. Yet, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Lord, I'm not going to hold this against you. Lord, you never left me. God, I may have left you, but you've said you'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. God, I know that you're with me, and I'm letting go of this hurt, and I am choosing in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my disappointment, to say, Lord, I'm letting go of the hurt. In spite of what I'm feeling, by faith, I am choosing to trust you. Let's bow together for prayer. Just a moment, we're going to sing a worship song. And I want you tonight, if you're in any of these conditions we've talked about, to let the healing power of the Holy Spirit. A couple people have mentioned to me already, they've been healed, they've been set free from this series and things they've heard and the Word of God. And I want to say to you tonight, if you're feeling this way, it's okay to vent to God. But put your trust in him. Let him undergird you. Let him take care of you. And he will. I know this. In those agonizing months and years after my son died, the Lord never left me. At times, I didn't feel his presence as strongly as I did at other times. But God never left me. As a matter of fact, he gave me a word one day, and it was this: I will carry you. I will carry you. And that's what God wants to do for you tonight. He loves you so much. And he wants to carry you through this disappointment. He wants to carry you through this hurt. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one's looking around, How many of you would say, and this, no one looking around, just between you and me, and I'm not going to call anybody. How many of you would say, Malcolm, I've struggled at times in this area. Would you just lift your hand so I, okay, yes, yes. Oh my goodness, yes, so many, so many. We've all been there, folks. Don't feel shame. Don't feel guilt about it. Father, I pray now that your healing power would touch souls and minds all across this building. Lord, you've come to set the captive free. Lord, remind them of how much you love them. That you'll never leave them. You'll never desert them. That you are always with them. Even when it seems like you're not there, Lord, we know you're there. So, Lord, tonight, touch them. And through the miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit, just like you healed Dale's body, heal their souls. And, Lord, all it takes is one touch from you to let go, to let that grudge go, to let that bitterness go. One touch. Lord, may people all in this room do that tonight. And then I want to say this. If you are here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, tonight, understand what he did for you. Understand that he went to the cross for you. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus can save you. And pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Come into my heart, save me, forgive me, and give me the new life and inner peace and joy that you have promised your children. Pray that right now. You've never done it before. Lord, I give you my life.